And now, as we continue with our studies, we're in the book of Ruth, and I want to read to you now from chapter 2, the second chapter of the little book of Ruth. Now, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I shall read a selection of verses. But I do hope you will find time in the quietness of your own home to reread this chapter and meditate upon it, and perhaps it will encourage your heart. The book of Ruth, chapter 2. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went, and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. Now, I'll go further down and read it, verse 10. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother, and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Now at verse 20. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. Verse 23, the last verse of the chapter. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Let us bow for prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee for these delightful things recorded in Thy Word, things that reach the heart. And so we do pray that what we've been reading now shall abide with us for good. Help us to glean therefrom, that we also may be strengthened and encouraged in our faith. Remember each one listening now, may thy blessing be upon them for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, in previous studies, we started off with the dark background of the failure of a man and the failure of a nation. But we moved on from there, and in the closing part of the first chapter, we studied a little concerning the lady whose name is given to this book, the name of Ruth. And we were considering in our last study her vow of consecration. We saw something of the expression of her faith, leading on to her fidelity, where she could say, until death do us part. We noticed a little of their fellowship as they went on their way to Bethlehem, that they went together. And then as we come to the end of that chapter, it brought us right into the fullness of the provision of God, for they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. See, that chapter starts with a famine, but it finishes with a harvest. It starts off with gloom, but by grace, the backslider is restored. Now it's a good thing when people are restored to the place of fellowship. And while it's true that the man who was responsible for going down there, that was Elimelech, while it's true that he died in the strange land, away from his inheritance, it's equally true that the widow came back, Naomi returned, and Ruth came with her. You know, it's a very interesting thing to note this. When the prodigal son was down in the far country, it was the thought of bread to sustain him that brought him back to his father's house. He saw all the rubbish that was around him at the swine troughs, things that couldn't satisfy. But he thought in terms of the abundance that was being provided for the servants in his father's house, and that's what caused him to rise and go back and say, I've sinned. Here back in the book of Ruth, it was the thought of bread, that God had supplied bread for his people in the land of promise, and Naomi knew that that was the place where she should be. Her friends were still back there, her relatives were still there, it was a place of God's blessing, and Naomi said, back there I'm going. She came back, and Ruth came with her. Now we noted that, how it was grace in chapter 1 that brought Ruth back. In chapter 2 she admits that. However, when you come to chapter 2, it could be that over this chapter you could write the word guidance. If it's grace that saved her in chapter 1 and brought her to the place of provision, she's going to receive guidance in chapter 2. Now, for a moment or two, let me draw your attention just to some of the highlights of this chapter. In the first verse, we're introduced to another person. Naomi had a kinsman. Now, this kinsman is going to take a very prominent place in this little book. Not only in this book, he'll take a prominent place in a certain line that runs through the whole Bible. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth. His name was Boaz. Now then, if you think of this man, he's the man who was a kinsman. That is, he was the one who was going to become the Redeemer. Or remember what I said, this whole book is a picture of redemption. How that the poor, despised sinner can be reclaimed, can be redeemed, and brought into a true relationship with the Redeemer. Now, there are certain things that must characterize any person who is going to be a Redeemer. Number one, he must have the right to redeem. Now, according to Old Testament custom, the one who had the right to redeem must be a kinsman. He must be related, as it were, before he could redeem. But one may have the right to redeem, but lack the resources. If you do not have the resources to redeem, you cannot redeem. And then the third thing, the Redeemer must have the resolve to redeem. Now get these three little truths fixed clearly in your mind, and you'll appreciate and understand what is recorded in the book of Ruth. We're introduced now to this kinsman at the beginning of chapter 2. And that sets forth, first of all, the fact that Boaz had the right to redeem, because he was a kinsman. So therefore, we are being introduced to one here who is going to redeem. Now, there's one thing said about him in verse 1. It says, he was a mighty man of wealth. Now then, if he is related to them, and he has the right to redeem, then we're told that he was a man with great resources. He had the resources whereby he had the ability to redeem. So not only does he have the right to redeem, he has the resources to redeem. What we'll have to find out as we study through this book is this: will this man Boaz have the resolve to carry through the great work of redemption. Now then, Ruth has come back with her mother-in-law, but now she needs guidance. Guidance, as I have indicated, is a very necessary thing. Now, remember this, that if a child is born, you expect to see that little one grow. There's rejoicing at the birth, but the child must grow. It's a great grief to the hearts of any parents when there's no growth. Now take the idea over into the spiritual life. New birth is a real thing, but God desires that we should grow and not remain always babes in Christ. We're exhorted to desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. We're exhorted to go on unto full growth. So that chapter 1 perhaps of the book of Ruth brings before us what might correspond to the new birth. Here is one who said, "My God, your God shall be my God. Your people shall be my people," and so on. She made a decision there, all right. But now, is she going to go on? Will she continue to develop? In the first verse then of chapter 2, we are introduced to Boaz, whom it is stated that he was a kinsman, and he was a mighty man of wealth. Now, that's wonderful. But I want you to notice again what he says when he comes into the field. Now remember, Ruth has gone to the field to glean. She went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. I wonder if all my listeners understand what is involved in the fact of her gleaning in the field. It may not be a custom in some countries, but it is still a custom in other countries. At least it's an old-fashioned custom for those who lived out in country villages, that at the time of harvest, after that the reapers had passed, the poor of the area were allowed to go into the field, and they themselves could glean afterwards and pick up from the little bits that were left. I have seen this carried out especially in fields where potatoes were grown. After they had gone and dug the potatoes and gathered them in the wagons and took them in, the poor were allowed to go in, and you could go round and dig or look, and if you could get any potatoes left, you were welcome to take them. It was a help to the farmer as well, because if they were taken out, they wouldn't be growing up the next year again when he was planting something else. And then it was a big help to the poor. They were able to get food. Now that was the custom away back there down in the plains of Bethlehem. And she went into the field and she was gleaning. She was a widow. She was entitled. She was one of the poor. And she was gleaning there for her and for her widowed mother-in-law. But now Boaz came down from Bethlehem. He was the man that owned the land. He had servants there. So that's why he was a mighty man of wealth. He owned land. He was what you might call in some respects a gentleman farmer, and he employed people in his field. Now, Boaz came from Bethlehem, verse 4. Listen to how he speaks to the reapers, those that are working for him. He comes in. Now, I can almost fancy him as he would raise his right hand in an act of blessing and say, "The Lord be with you." And they would rise and look at him, and they answered, "The Lord bless thee." I've often stopped and puzzled over that verse and enjoyed it. I wonder, my friend, how would that go today if some man who is the owner of the business or a man who is the supervisor in some particular place came in and there were the workers there, and instead of simply saying good morning, if he came in and said, "The Lord be with you," and all those working under him could respond and say, "And the Lord bless thee," what a wonderful place it would be to work. Have you ever pictured what it would be like if all the representatives in Washington were gathered together for the State of the Union address, and when it was said, "Gentlemen, the President of the United States. And they all rose to their feet, and the president went up and took his place. And when once they had settled down, he stood forward, and he was to address the whole house and say, "The Lord be with you." And if all those sitting in the seats would answer, "And the Lord bless thee," what a wonderful country it might be. That is, if these things were said sincerely. But now, that's what Boaz did. You see, he's a man who knew the Lord. And he comes out and he says, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless thee." Then, having pronounced this benediction, it's Boaz then who looks over and he says, "Now, whose damsel is this?" His eye goes to Ruth. Now, I want you to notice this, that we've learned that he's a mighty man in wealth. But not only is he a mighty man in wealth, he's a mighty man in grace, because surely he must have been exercising great grace when he looked on his servants and said, "The Lord be with you." He didn't need to talk to them at all. He was the owner, he was the boss. But see how he acts in grace. It reminds me of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know. He was a mighty man of wealth as well. The Lord had great wealth. Have you ever thought of some of the things associated with the Lord Jesus Christ and his wealth? He is rich in grace. The Bible speaks of the riches of his grace. They are revealed in a wonderful manner by his advent into this scene. He came from heaven's highest glory, not in regal dignity, though himself the king, nor in creative dignity, though creator of all things, but he came in lowly grace. You see, it distinctly says here that Boaz came from Bethlehem. The Lord Jesus Christ also not only came from Bethlehem, he came to Bethlehem. He came and was born there. Oh, the grace, ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he were rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be enriched. But it also tells us that Christ is rich in mercy, being a merciful and faithful high priest, ever living to make intercession for us. We therefore confidently approach the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace for seasonable help. Mercy is our portion. What we deserve was judgment, but we have obtained mercy, in that there has been the withholding of that which we rightly merited. Grace we need, and this too he doth vouchsafe unto us. It is unmerited favor, for we could never deserve it. So the Lord Jesus Christ was rich in grace, rich in mercy, but he's also rich in glory. There will yet be displayed to a wondering universe an effulgence of glory hitherto undreamt of, a glory which through grace we shall share. All the glory which we shall reflect shall be borrowed from him in that great day of manifestation. There is a moral glory, which in his life here below was surpassingly and supremely grand. A glory that was all his own. Though we do well, as Peter exhorts, to follow his steps. Remember this, there was a glory that was his. Intrinsically his own glory. In reference to this, he, addressing his father, spoke of the glory which I had with thee before the world was. That glory we shall behold, though we never can share it, for it is his own. What a moment when we gaze upon him in all his wealth of glory. We so near yet perfectly at home. Oh, the riches of that glory. Have you ever sung that verse, "Face to face when I behold him far above the starry sky, face to face in all his glory I shall see him by and by"? So Boaz is a man of wealth. Boaz was a man of grace. But Boaz is also a man of strength. He's a man of authority. A man of strength. Likewise, so was the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when he spoke as one having authority. That is, he spoke as the authority. And this man, Boaz, was a man of authority. But he's also a man of supply. When you come down to verse 14 of chapter 2, it says, "And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was suffised, and left." You see, he not only was a man of great wealth, and a man who exercised grace, a man who could speak with authority, but he's a man who could supply the need of this poor widow who had come back with her mother-in-law. My friend, have you ever thought of the Lord Jesus Christ? We've already expressed to you how that he was wealthy. We've also expressed to you the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've also told you something of his authority, and something perhaps now of his supply. Have you ever thought of what he can supply for us? You know, in the Gospel according to John, he said he was the true bread that came down from heaven. In the next chapter, he tells us, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." The Lord Jesus Christ can supply everything that we need. He's got a great supply. No wonder the psalmist could say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And so therefore, just as Boaz was able to supply the need of this poor widow who had come back to the land with her mother-in-law, so therefore, we also can find an abundant supply from the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, after all, she needed guidance here. Now notice some of the guidance that Ruth was given. First of all, she was given guidance from Boaz himself. He said unto Ruth, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens." He told her where to glean. Later on, verse 15, when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not." Now that was something away far and beyond the normal gleaning. Now as we come down near the end of the chapter, she gets further advice and guidance from her mother-in-law. Because in verse 22, "And Naomi said unto Ruth her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law." You see, she needed guidance, and so do we. Every person that's been saved needs to have guidance. Now, here's a little verse perhaps you've sung often, or you've heard it. "Our shepherd is still our guardian and guide. Before us he goes to help and provide. The springs that refresh us by him have been given. Our bread is a manna that came down from heaven." You see, as a widow and as a stranger, she was permitted by law to glean. But then she gets grace from the Redeemer and goes a little further. She was allowed to glean in the same field all the time. She was allowed to glean among the sheaves. She was to gather handfuls that were dropped on purpose for her, according to verse 16. And then, of course, she was refreshed when she was thirsty. She was supplied with food when she was hungry, according to verse 14. She was comforted in her loneliness. And she was rested when she was weary. Oh, what wonderful things this Redeemer could do for this one who had come under the shelter of his wings. You know, you find shelter under his wings, you find satisfaction under his wings, you'll find strength under his wings, you'll find security under the wings of the Redeemer. I wonder, my friend, do we know anything of his guidance as to gleaning in his field? Where have you gleaned today was the question at Ruth. I wonder if that question was put to us, where have we gleaned today?